We will then now move to Minister Mutambi to proceed with the presentation, which is already on the overhead here. And let me allow you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair President. Yeah, well, I think we'll go straight to slide number 3. Safe to say on the presentation by the Public Service Commission, I think it's worth to point out that the DOC referred in the presentation is not the Department of Communication. It's the old DOC. I think I wanted to clear that one. The old DOC, the now called Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So any reference mainly on the presentation of the Public Service Commission, it refers to the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services. That's the clarity that I wanted to provide upfront. The previous presentation, I think, with regards to slide 3, it indicates the entities that fall under us. And I think it's worth to report that since the 1st of October, we have disestablished GCIS, and then we now have the new Department of Communications that is also comprised of the following entities as listed there. Then I think let me also take this opportunity to outdo it when GCIS, the former GCIS, make a presentation with regard to its performance. But I think I will introduce the new Director General of the Department of Communication, that's Mr. Donald Lepoko. And I think you also know Mr. Errol Maloka is the DDG content for the new Department of Communication. You might also know Ms. Neville Horowitz, she's the DDG Provincial and Local Liaison, including Stakeholder Management. And then Mr. Zweli Momeka is the Chief Financial Officer of the Department. That's the team that I'm traveling with. Okay, so Team VOC. Chairperson, let me say this up front, also with regard to, we're going to slide 4. I think we are all appreciative of the work that the AG is doing, including the work of the Public Service Commission, because at least for us as a new department, then it gives us a basis to where to start. And then also to indicate, Chairperson, that the MDDA is not here today because they were removed from the program based on their late submission of their annual report. But I wish to indicate that on this annual report that they've submitted, they did obtain again a clean audit. So, but that's one thing that I'm not condoning, because I've noted it with great concern, and I'm putting it to the honorable members to say they need to come and account to Parliament, because the board itself is executive authority. They have responsibility to comply with the Public Finance Management Act. I think should the portfolio committee have an opportunity, they need to call them to come and account why didn't they comply with the PFMA. And then I think I will serve members with a copy of the letter that I have written to them, realizing that they didn't comply. So that's the issue that I thought. I was really much unhappy myself, and I've been strong on my communication with them. Then as the meeting progressed, I'll make sure that the copy of this letter gets distributed to you, wherein I was raising my concern, dissatisfaction of them not complying. But nevertheless, in terms of the report, as it's indicated, and then we won't be dealing with it here, because they realized also that they were removed from the program based on the fact that they didn't comply. And then with regard to the GCIS and Film Publication Board, indeed they got an unqualified audit opinion, but the beauty about them, they had list is not like the other entities, they've got list members, matters of emphasis. Hence we are saying, as a department, we are going to work with them to ensure that they implement all the matters raised by the AG. And then also, Brand SA is part of GCIS and FPB in that it got an unqualified audit opinion, and then we are going also to work with them, and then also that they address the irregular and fruitless expenditure, including the foreign exchange exposure on the audit finding. And then we will be coming to, as you have realized, we have presented the strategy to the PCC during the PCC retreat. We'll be coming to the portfolio committee with the Brand SA bill that we are going to develop so that we are able to deal with the entity's work and provide for its corporate governance framework to curb most of the issues that have been raised by the EG. With regard to the Auditor General's report, most of the entities have remained unchanged, but I think also, I think there's an appreciation on the part that these entities, they must utilize the resources in a manner that is accountable, effective, and as efficient as required by the PFMA. I must indicate, Chairperson, that although the SABC improved from a disclaimer to a qualified audit opinion, it remains a great concern for us. ICASA also showed some improvements because it also received a qualified audit opinion with matters of emphasis. And then we are saying as a department we are going to devote resources to ensure that both SAPC and ICASA address the audit finding. Hence, with the new establishment of the department, we have been given a branch that will be responsible for providing oversight and monitoring for the approved startup organogram structure. They've given us a branch for SOE oversight. Then we felt these are the interventions that we need to carry forward for the SABC. And then we put also timeline in terms of the intervention. With regard to the collapse of systems on asset management, procurement, and financial control, we had requested the board already to provide a comprehensive program of action with timelines on how to address the collapse of internal controls. As we are saying, the November deadline we could have managed to address most of the issues. And then with regards to the issue of poor performance of television license fees as a revenue stream, we also say the intervention will be to review the license fees collection method as part of the public broadcasting review process that's to be undertaken. So we hope to have completed that process by May 2015. With regard to the vacancies and strategic position of business, the board has prioritized the appointment of the GCO and CFO. I've since this week received the recommendation from the board on the appointment of the GCU, then I will be applying my mind to that effect. And that process, including the one of the CFO, will have been finalized by November. And then the skills capacity and retaining of existing skills to implement critical projects. I think the board is going to present a comprehensive program of action on the implementation of the PwC report. I've noted the progress there wherein I see a lot of their managers. I think when they report, they will deal with it. I've taken to the this leadership management program with VET. And then also, you are saying by November, the board will submit a comprehensive broadcasting digital migration plan to the department. And then on the emphasis of matter with regard to ICASA, we have since also instructed the ICASA to submit a report on current investigations and on completion, including the remedial action if they have taken any. And this is the matter that they need to finalize it as a matter of urgency. And then also with regard to the report on the all litigation against the authority by November. And then with regard to steps taken to prevent the regular fraudulent and wasteful expenditure, we also have a deadline of November when they will be submitting to us the remedial actions that they've taken. And then with regard to the way forward, we have since written letters to the chairpersons of the boards and the ICASA Council to provide a comprehensive program of action on how to address all the audit findings. And then the progress report on the program of action will be a standing agenda item on the minister's monthly bilateral meetings with the APTs. And then I think we'll also launch an operation plan audit for all entities, and we'll work with the AG in this regard. And also we'll establish the department of entities task team to address audit findings and report to the minister on quarterly basis. So I will request through you, Chairperson, that the entities starting from GCIS, they deal with the matters in detail. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Minister. I wonder if members need any clarity, but I think let's immediately go to the entities in the order that the Minister has already outlined. GCIS, you want to put in a presentation? Okay.
The presentation. Basically, I will be responding to some of the highlighted matters from the audit report. Again, thank you for the opportunity. I'll go straight into it. I think just in as a lead up to the presentation, the story that's been told is one of improving performance, and I think what we've noted, taking in the comments from the Auditor General as well as the comments from the PSC, is that overall our systems of governance are strengthening, and it speaks to an entrenched culture in the organization of improving management. So of course, risk management and control measures have improved. And with the assistance of the Auditor General's Office, we've been paying particular attention to how it is that we can strengthen the organization. The two key findings that I thought we should really focus on and talk about are around the human resource processes, which speak to our recruitment capability through the HRM department, as well as the area of our financial statements, performance, and annual reporting. The issue around the human resources really arose from the fact that we were not fully compliant in terms of our recruitment procedures. I hasten to add that as of the 30th of August, we have attended to this, and the NIA is actually fully participating in our recruitment processes to make sure that all of the vetting for staff that is being onboarded into the organization is adequately checked. We also have on board SACWA to make sure that we are conducting verification of all the qualifications of prospective staff. In terms of the financial statements, I think the key issue there was really around compliance with the PFMA, and the improvements that the Auditor General's Office have tabled and which we've adopted and embraced is to create a monthly cycle in which we reconcile all of our financial statements to ensure that they are free from possible misstatement. Our cycles were different, and I do believe that by adopting a monthly cycle, it has made our reporting and the accountability of managers just a bit more effective. I wanted to touch on the expenditure summary briefly. It did come up, and there was a recurring matter in both the prior reports around the over expenditure that was recorded in the year as at 31st of March. The key issue here for us was really around the support that the department had provided to the state funeral of the late president, founding president Nelson Mandela. I think if you look at the final appropriation, which is the column there on your left-hand side, the budget that had been allocated was 437 million rand. The actual expenditure of 440,000 rand meant that we did exceed our budget by 3.6 million rand. And that over expenditure was unforeseen. We had not obviously planned for the funeral, but there were unavoidable expenses that we needed to incur to ensure that the funeral was properly executed. I'll go into some of the detail in the individual programs so that we can have a discussion around how that overexpenditure happened. So you'll see that from program one, which is our administrative capability, the expenditure that was allocated was duly spent, 99%. The area where we did have some cost overruns were in the intergovernmental and intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management. And in this particular area, you'll see the variance there was for 2.3 million rand. But the real challenge that we had in terms of that over expenditure was that when the funeral actually happened, we found ourselves not only having to cater for local media, but we had to create facilities for international media who came through to make sure that this event was not only broadcast around the world, but shared with global citizens. The other area where we saw the over expenditure, and I do apologize, I'm trying to present here from my iPad, so you can't quite see the figure, it's 1.3 million rand, and that was in the Communication Service Agency, and this outfit was tasked with making sure that we, transmit public service announcements, that we're able to publicize not only in newspapers, radio, and on television, the events for the president's demise, and also to share with the public the actual program of the full services. So, unfortunately, these were expenses that we could not avoid. We took them on with an undertaking from the National Treasury that we would be refunded, but in January they informed us that would not be possible. So a great degree where we were able to fund them from our own budgets, we did try, but the result was the variance of 3.6 million rand. I think it's useful to also highlight that in our financials, we had looked at opportunities for public-private partnerships, and we did underperform. There's a variance there of 30,000 rand. We have a publication called the Public Sector Manager, and our publication model was premised on the ability for us to share revenue through advertising. It just, unfortunately for us, was a soft advertising market, and we didn't realize those advertising revenues. In terms of the entities, I'd just like to highlight that not only do we have a constructive relationship with the MDDA at an executive level, but also operationally, the two organizations work extremely closely together, and the transfers that were allocated for GCIS for the MDDA were duly sent through to the MDDA. Ma'am, with those few words, I would like to thank you and thank the honorable members. And of course, I would like to thank the minister for his support. With those few words, I will hand back to you, ma'am.
Okay, before we take another presentation, just to indicate that we did make an introduction of who's here, but we did not link the name to the person. And if I can encourage all entities, once they do the presentation, to just reintroduce themselves, now linking the name to persons.
My name is Donald DiPoco. I'm the Acting Director General at the Department of Communications. I am joined by our executive, Ms. Nibo Lukhabe, who you know, Mr. Harold Maluka, and Mr. Zuli Moneta. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We heard it when the minister did it. It's good to amplify to us, still in your department. We'll keep introducing ourselves until we know one another. Okay, thank you very much. Issues that require clarity, members. Otherwise, I would like to take the next presentation. I wonder if Ikasa is ready. That's fine. Okay. Films and publications. Oh, Ikasa has already put the presentation. Okay, is it fine, Minister? I'll take the Ikasa. Mm-hmm. All right. Then let's take the films and publications. Introduction and then get to the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, and Honorable Members. The presentation today is going to be done by my colleague, Tebuko, who is our acting CFO. In our delegation, I've got the Chair of the Finance Committee of the Film and Publications Board, Mr. Dikage, sitting over there, and the Chief Operations Officer, Sipho Rishiba. Now, Professor Levine has made a comment about that we are not making our target in terms of women representation. Two of my colleagues, one is out of the country and one is actually on leave. And so it was not intentional that I would only bring this rugby team. Having said that, may I, Chairperson, hand over to my colleague to do the presentation. I will help with the questions if there are any. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, committee members, minister, and colleagues sitting around the table. I will take you through the FPV presentation on expenditure plans and audit outcomes, and also the audit action plan. With regard to expenditure trends 2013-14, I'll start with revenue and follow with the expenditure trends. We received $2.6 million for year ended 31st March 2014 as compared to $69.8 million received in previous year. And $4.3 million was actually generated from our internal generated revenue as compared to $5.4 million. The decline in current year, which is year ended 31st March 2014, was due to a decline in previous years due to a decrease in number of materials submitted for classification. The overall income received for the year ended 31st March 2014 was $87.1 million as compared to $75.7 million received in previous financial year. With regard to expenditure items limited to admin and general expenditure, with regard to administration staff cost, year-to-date expenditure was $36.1 million incurred for the current year. This total includes transfer fees amounting to $3.8 million paid during the financial year. General expenses amounted to 45.4 million, excluding non-cash items like depreciation, which amounted to 3.1 million. The board recorded a surplus of 5.4 million for the year ended 31st March 2014 as compared to a deficit of 11.7 recorded in previous financial year. With regard to financial performance, the statement of financial performance, just a breakdown on the summary presented. The total revenue collected is 87.1 million in current year, and total expenditure amounted to 81.6 million. Breakdown for personal expenditure is admin cost amounted to 32.3 million, plus fire remuneration 3.8 million. Other operating expenditure referred to as general expenditure amounted to 45.5 million. And our surplus for current year was 5.4 million as compared to 11.7 deficit in prior. I'll now present the audit outcomes and our internal audit action plan and status year to date. With regard to 2013-14 financial year, the Film and Publication Board has again obtained an unqualified audit opinion with issues raised relating to the first one was restatement of annual financial statements. The second one was a material misstatement in the annual performance report submitted for audit. And the third one was material misstatements of accounts payable expenditure. All these issues were subsequently corrected before the audit report was finalized in August. The presentation slide indicates the detailed issues that were raised during the audit. These are as per our management report, management letter that was received. The first issue was on accruals related to the prior year period has not been reversed. This was also corrected during the audit. Under statement of payables, this issue was resolved. 13 months rent is due in time balance. This was corrected. The next issue relates to operating lease incorrectly disclosed. Finance lease liability incorrectly classified under operating lease liability and recorded liabilities. All these issues were resolved. Third slide relates to commitments being overstated, salaries and wages with debit balances classified under accounts payable. These two issues were also resolved. The straightlining of the list was correctly calculated. Netting off of debtors balances, these two issues were resolved during the audit. Another issue relating to creditors with debit balances who were not reclassified. Income received in advance recognizes revenue. The two issues were also resolved. Reasons for variance between plan targets and actual achievements not disclosed. This relates to performance information. The issues were also resolved before the audit was analyzed. The issues relating to non-compliance with instruction note 1 of 2014. Of 2013, these issues were raised actually by internal audit, then followed by AG. The two issues were also addressed through the audit. Fixed asset register incomplete. Second issue was useful life of fixed assets not reassessed. The two issues were resolved during the audit. With regard to IT audit, we have first issue related to IT governance. On this one, the council has said that we have partially addressed the issue. Controls in place, the terms of reference have been revised. Recommended additions to objectives have been included. Remuneration of members have also been concluded. Consideration is being given to formation of the ITSC, and the performance monitoring will be a standing agenda item on our meetings. The next one relates to security management. Current status is not addressed, that's why it's highlighted in red. And update to date was a proposal to increase our bandwidth was approved actually in, I think, last month. So the issue will be resolved by end of the current financial year. Next one on IT audit relates to IT service continuity. The issue was partially addressed. Controls in place to resolve this issue. Replication of internal systems to the DR, which is the disaster recovery site, has been completed. Our systems are backed up daily. disaster recovery ESA has been scheduled for the 20th of October 2014, which is yesterday. It was done yesterday. Another issue relating to IT was with regard to user access. The issue was resolved during the audit. The invoice was not sent to confirm receipts of services. In the current financial year, all the invoices were sent and confirmed with regard to that findings. And that's all from our side, and thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have anything to add. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Minister Mitchell will be the next one then. Unless members want any area for cleric. I didn't see a sign of requiring that. Let's proceed. You'll also bring South Africa start with the introduction. Whilst they are sorting out the logistics, I'll do the introduction. My name is Chichi Maponya. I'm the chairman of Brand South Africa. I'm here with Jeff Rothschild, who's the chairman of ARCO, Vuyo Mugwana, who's the trustee, I beg your pardon, who's a member of the committee of ARCO. I'm here with CEO Mela Matola, CFO Alice Kuwane, and Director for Corporate Governance and Board Secretariat, Sifiso Nyoni. Honourable Chair, to you and to the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Minister, thank you for the opportunity to come and present the clarity on the audit findings. Over and above what the Minister has already said, the CFO will go through the detail of what was contained in the audit findings and how we have responded. I do also want to add that we are working closely with the Minister in addressing many of the issues, and I think there will be periodic updates on progress. But also through you, my Minister, perhaps just as a side comment, part of the work that we do, as Brenda say, is managing perceptions. And one of the big perceptions that we manage in the country is the language that is used around the financial audits by the AG. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure already just signals corruption, mismanagement of funds and things like that. I think it would be useful at some point just to engage to see, one, is there different language that we can use, or how do we better educate the recipients of this information so that they understand that at times it's just process, yes, it must be followed, but the perception that it creates, I think, becomes a bigger issue that we find ourselves having to manage as part of the brand. I think we're struggling to get connected, Alice. Do you want to continue on the hard copy? I think, does everybody have a hard copy of the presentation? Please proceed on the basis of your laptop, and they will follow on the, we don't have the right connections to our laptop, unfortunately. Honourable Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Minister, thank you for the opportunity. Given that we've already submitted the report, we, as Brand South Africa, has demonstrated that we have been improving in terms of our internal controls to ensure that eventually we do get 18 audits, which hopefully we should get during the year 2014-2015.
Looking at the audit outcomes of 2013 and 2014, we had an unqualified audit due to misstatements. The misstatements were due to understated accruals. Understated accruals that came through the test of subsequent payments made in May and June. Now, the root cause as identified by management was that the finance manager position was vacant. The finance manager resigned October 2013, and the accountant resigned and left effectively on the 31st of March 2014, which then left a gap. And at that time, again, the supply chain management unit was not fully established, and then there were inadequacies identified in our accounting system. And then we looked at the commitment as management, we said. We need to fill all the vacant positions and then reconfigure the system so that it assists management going forward. And we also looked at the entire organizational structure that will assist us in ensuring that key role players in the supply chain management process and financial management process are actually knowledgeable and know what is expected and know how to comply with the prescriptions of PFMA. The status on our commitments to date are that a finance manager was appointed on the 2nd of May 2014. A secondary has been on board, and the contract expires on the 31st of March 2014 to act as an accountant. We have then reconfigured the system to ensure that it's in line entirely with the prescriptions of PFMA. And we have the board has approved the audit structure addressing all permanent key role players and critical management positions that will be there to assist in ensuring that PFMA is complied with. The structure has been implemented over three phases. Currently, we have filled most of the positions and will continue with filling the positions going forward in the next 2 years. And now you are also asked to then talk to the baseline and the expenditure trend of Business A. If you look at the graph, the blue graph then talks to, the blue line talks to our expenditure. In 2009-2010, our expenditure was above at least 180 million. And then it dropped in 2010-2011 to 154. This was due to the fact that during that time we were waiting for approval from Cabinet of the new PF line called Inspiring New Ways. So we couldn't launch most of the activities that were related to Inspiring New Ways. However, if you look at the baseline then increased substantially. The reason why it increased during that time is because we were talking to the FIFA World Cup tournament that was hosted by South Africa. In 2011-2012, and then the baseline dropped drastically to 140, which was actually normalizing from what the baseline was prior to 2009-2010. From then on to date, it has increased with the inflationary increase throughout. And then if we look at the expenditure then in 2011-2012, it increased substantially because the payoff line was then approved. Then therefore we started expending expenditure according to the approved performance plan. And then 2012-2013, it dropped after that and normalizing to what is reflected on the graph. However, it should be noted that in 2013-2014, there was a gap between the baseline and expenditure, and that resulted in Grand SA then disclosing an accumulated deficit of 4.7 million, which was mainly caused, as indicated by the minister, due to the foreign exchange losses. And then I just looked at the foreign exchange losses, the trend that we've seen over the years, which I didn't provide in the slides. In 2011, our forex was 192,386. In 2012, 324,790. In 2013, it was 911,764. And then in 2012, it grew up to 2.2 million. That was the unforeseen behavior of the rent depreciating over the years that we didn't actually cater for in our budget. So going forward, we will look into then putting in a contingent forex exchange in our budget so that it can cater for exchange losses where we actually didn't provide. And where the rent then is not depreciating, then we will then use the money for other activities that actually suffered prior to, in the APP. And then we look at the trend of the irregular expenditure from 2009 to 2014. From 2009, it just began below to a figure of 1 million, and then in 2011, it grew up to 3.2, and that was because of the procurement of the FIFA World Cup tickets, which was in contravention of the supply chain management prescripts. In 2011-2012, it also grew up to about 6.6 after condoning 5 million, which was due to non-application of the triple PFA and the fact that there were invalid tax clearance certificates. In 2012-2013, it reduced to 370, and 2013, it's 272. The next slide that talks to the explanation why we actually found ourselves where we are during 2011 and 2012. We, Brandy, didn't have a supply chain management unit, so then therefore supply chain management activities were decentralized and they were carried out by people who were not necessarily trained to do so. And then in 2010-2011, we had an acting chief financial officer, which then carried on to 2011-2012, however, in October 2011, then a permanent chief financial officer was appointed, which is myself. And then 2012-2013, progressively we've been establishing the SEM unit. During 2012-2013, even though we had a unit, we didn't have permanent staff members because they were not part of the organogram, and we were mindful that we cannot have permanent staff without an organogram being approved by our executive authority. So the process then unfolded in 2013-2014, where then two positions were approved for the supply chain management unit, and we appointed an SCM manager on the 1st of August 2018. And then the next slide then talks to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure also went up and again declined in 2013-2014. The spike that we see in 2010-2011 was due to cancellation of an onerous contract from a service provider regarding photocopier machines, whereby we had photocopier machines that went non-functional, and yet the contract hasn't expired, and you have that time lapse that you needed to cater for. And then in 2012-2013, we then had labor disputes that we settled of 342,000. And then 2013-2014, we incurred 33,000 in respect of SARS penalties. The reason why we paid SARS penalties in 2013-2014 was the fact that prior to 2007, Brand South Africa was not registered for the SPL, and we then were required to register for SPL, and soon after that, we had to pay interest on late submission of 33,000. And again, we had the cancellation of photocopier machines, whereby we cancelled with the service provider. However, they kept on taking the money from our bank account. Subsequent in this current financial year, we then recovered the full amount from the service provider. So our disclosure in 2014-2015 will then reflect a recovered amount from the service provider. And then the audit findings, it actually shows, again, improvement in terms of the findings. Total findings in 2011-2012 were 40, and then they decreased in 2012-2013 to 25, in 2013-2014, they then reduced to 9. Out of the 40, which is very important, I think 7 were reportable items. 5 were matters on supply chain management findings, whereby there was the triple PFA that was not applied in the invalid textile certificate. One was around achievement of the objectives, which we only reached below the threshold of 80% at the time. We only reached 76%. And one was unauthorized expenditure, because at the time of reporting, we haven't yet received approval to retain the accumulated surplus from National Treasury. And then in 2012-2013, 3 were reportable matters. One was on the misstatement of the financial statement due to a revaluation on property, plant and equipment. There was a technical issue there. The service provider that was secured didn't necessarily qualify with the requirements of as set by the standard. And then the other two were related to supply chain management, whereby the composition of the bid adjudication committee was questioned. And then the second one was that we awarded a tender to a joint venture. However, this was not disclosed in the invitation to bid documents. And then in 2013-2014, there was one material misstatement, as I earlier indicated. This was due to the accruals being understated at year end, which was subsequently then corrected. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Thank you very much. Any areas for clarity, members? Thanks, Bank South Africa. Minister Wickham? Ikasa, you're next. You'll do the introduction as well.
Honourable Members of Parliament, Honourable Minister Faith Mutambi, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Lomvu Isobadje. I am a councillor at ICASA, currently acting chairperson of ICASA. We had already conveyed our apologies to the Honourable Portfolio Committee chairperson, so we hope you have received those. I am joined from ICASA by Mr. Ruben Mushaloha. He's also a Catholic at ICASA. He's sitting here right behind me. And next to me is the COO, Mr. Wellington Gwepe. And we have Ms. Clarinda Simpson at the back wearing a red top. She is the Chief Financial Officer. We are also joined behind me by the General Manager, Human Resources, Ms. Musimtseni, and next to her is Ms. Unachi Bangani, Senior Manager, Office of the Chairperson. I will allow Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Wellington Gwepe, and the CFO to take you through what CASA has said done. However, we tend to over-prepare and did everything that was required and went overboard. So he is going to take you through the audit findings and what corrective action we are taking from our side. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Good morning to the Honourable Minister as well. We're gonna run a presentation from slide 24, which is very specific to the annual financial statement and the Auditor General's report. Honourable Members and Honourable Chairperson, I think as a start, we just thought we would highlight that ICASA has, for the second consecutive year, obtained an unqualified audit. So we've certainly seen progress from where we were in 2011-2012. We've seen some improvements from 2012-2013, and now some additional improvements in 2013-2014. From the presentation that we saw from the Auditor General in the morning, there's effectively four areas of concern that were highlighted. And I'll quickly run you through them. The one related to non-adherence to National Treasury regulations in respect of supply chain management processes. We have instituted remedial steps on that. We've commissioned an investigation into the SCM function to deal with all those shortcomings that were identified, and the report will be finalized, I think, by the end of this month, at the latest by end of next month. And as the minister clearly stated, her expectation is that the report will be with her by end of November, and we will certainly meet that deadline. So on SCM, the report on the remedial steps will be tabled with the minister by end of November. The second area relates to the legal cases that we've had to face over the past financial year, primarily from different licensees. And I think when the CFO takes you through the financials, this is the area from which the 7 million rand wasteful expenditure highlighted by the AG sort of came from. And again, we're taking measures to remedy that. The third point is quite a critical point, and it relates to the write-off of National Revenue Fund receivables due to invalid debts that have been raised. And that arises as a result of the current radio frequency spectrum fees regulations. The remedial steps around that specific issue is that we're currently revising the regulations to align them to best practice and ensure that, you know, the invoices are only raised in respect of valid licenses that have been issued for spectrum licensees. The final point around the spend reference funds from the past year, this again relates to certain specific regulatory projects which we were supposed to undertake in the past financial year, which we unfortunately did not complete. The remedial step now is that in this current financial year, all of those projects would then be fulfilled, and the amount will be spent accordingly. I'm going to ask the CFO to run through the next slides, which then talks to the performance information and the financials.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, and Honorable Minister. Just a brief overview of ICASA's financial position at the end of March 2014. On slide 26, we have the what you call the balance sheet or the statement of financial position. We start off with just an overview of the assets. I'm going to focus on the material line items and not all the line items. The most material one on slide 26 is the National Revenue Fund receivables. Maybe just to point out that ICASA acts as an agent for the Department of Communications and Treasury with regard to the billing, invoicing, and collection of license fees for the spectrum, license fees, the ECS, ECNS, and the broadcasting revenue streams. So currently, we do not disclose this license fee that we collect as revenue. It's currently, if you want to call it, not ICASA's revenue as such. We are merely an agent. So we've taken directive from National Treasury, and we disclose whatever we bill or invoice as National Revenue Fund receivables. You'll see on slide 26 under current assets, there's a $700 million of receivables that we've invoiced that we are still waiting collection of. So currently it's sitting or reflecting in our books. Department of Communications should be reflecting a similar value. Then another material line item is the cash and cash equivalents, the $321 million. It includes cash reserves of ICASA of $200 million. Then we've got $121 million relating to the NRF license fees we collect. In terms of the ICASA Act, we are allowed to retain the license fees for at least 30 days to generate some interest to supplement our very limited baseline allocation. So that $121 million is sitting in our bank accounts for 30 days until we transfer it out to DOC. And then maybe just to highlight, on the same page, we've got intangible assets of $7.3 million. This links back to one of the emphasis of matter items around a investigation that we've commissioned. We've currently got one of the Big Four audit firms on board to assist us with investigating irregularities that we picked up in the supply chain division. So if our suspicions are confirmed, there could be at least a couple of hundred thousand of fruitless and wasteful expenditure that might be written off from the intangible assets. Okay, I'm on slide 27. It's also still part of the statement of financial position. We're talking to liabilities. ICASA doesn't have any finance lease obligations as such. It's merely an operating lease that for accounting purposes we recognize as a finance lease. Then we've also got a head office and regional offices that we're currently leasing. We're disclosing the operating lease liability as well. Then the very material amount of $800 million relates to the NRF National Revenue Fund payables. Whatever we invoice the industry with regard to our different license fees, we ultimately reflect as payable to the DLC. So sitting in the $800 million is amounts due and also license fees received in advance. And then maybe just a note, we've got an accumulated surplus of $178 million. It is cash-backed, but we've got approval from Treasury to actually retain the surpluses because, as was mentioned, most of the budget allocations relate to commitments to expenditure that's been accrued, but there's not been any cash outflow. So we've been able to substantiate to National Treasury our commitments in regards to the $178 million. So we've got approval to retain, and we're making progress towards spending those cash reserves. Then if one looks at the statement of financial performance, we've got our normal revenue that we recognize, the $300 million allocation from National Treasury. We've got our normal expenditure items, normal operating expenditure, salaries and wages as well. And then we've got an operating surplus of $44 million. It's an accounting operating surplus as such. The included in the baseline allocation that we get from Treasury, the budget allocation of the grant, we've got a portion of ring-fence funds that was allocated to ICASA for specific purposes. So currently we do not recognize those funds in the income statement. We've deferred it. It makes for better accounting reporting, for better tracking purposes, and it gives an indication to Treasury of whether we are actually fulfilling our commitments with regard to spending those funds. So currently we've got 93 million. That has been emphasized by the AG in the audit report, sitting in the balance sheet but not in the statement of financial performance. So if we are to recognize it as income and take it through the income statement, the 44 million would be much higher and would be more consistent with the 178 million accumulated surplus. Then we're on the cash flow statement. If one looks at the cash flow statement, it comes on an accrual basis, but when it comes to the cash flow statement, we report on cash basis. The material items is the cash received by administered revenue, meaning ICASA with regard to the license fees that we've billed. So for the year, ICASA collected actual physical cash from Spectrum, from your ECS, ECNS, and your broadcasting license fees, 1.5 million physical cash that we collected. And then if you look under payments, ICASA transferred to DOC and Treasury 1.42 million. Obviously, the difference we've got in our bank account generating interest. And as you can see, this balances back to what we've got sitting in our bank account of 300 million. And then the last financial reports on slide 30 is your statement of comparison of budget and actual. Here we do a comparison of the budget allocation versus the actual, be it income or revenue that we recognize in an expenditure. Maybe just to emphasize that the only material underspending relates to staff costs, maybe due to our restructuring endeavors at ICASA, but during the course of the year we were able to reprioritize and make use of those funds. Which we use to basically supplement the over expenditure on the general expenses. So where we've got underspendings or savings, we identify those timelessly and we reprioritize to ensure that we utilize our full budget allocation. So whatever savings or underspending on the other items compensated for the other critical needs that we could not afford at the beginning of the year that came up during, or that we had to fund during the course of the year. And that's predominantly included in your general expenses. So thank you.
If I may, Chair, with your permission, just in conclusion, zoom into the four areas of emphasis of matter raised by the AG. And the first relates to the HR vacancy rate, the high vacancy rate that at senior management level, just to give the committee comfort that we have just finalized the ICASA realignment process and all the positions that are critical that needs to be filled are being filled, and there's already a process underway to recruit for some of the senior leadership positions. Again, this will be part of the report that will be submitted to the minister as part of the remedial steps. The second area related to IT and the fact that there were no adequate skills in that function and some of the internal controls were not what they were supposed to be. That is also being attended to as part of filling the critical vacancies. One of the vacancies that has been identified that required to be filled is that of an IT security officer, and that will be part of the overall realignment process. On non-compliance with Treasury regulations, as I mentioned, the investigation that has been commissioned has been or will be completed shortly, and the Minister will also get a report on that by end of November. The final issue related to the manner in which our strategic objectives are reported, I think the targets don't talk to the annual performance plan and the strategic plan, and we should indicate in the advice from the AG on board to make sure that management provides oversight on all the reports that will be going out. And on that note, I wish to thank you, Chair, and honourable members.
Hey. No, thank you very much.
SABC is the remaining one. Clarity, honorable members, are fine. You're still fine. Eh? SABC.
The Minister of Communication, Ms. Mthambi. My name is Ronnie Lubisi. I'm the chairperson of the Audit Committee. With me, I have the acting Group Executive Officer, Anton, there. And next to Anton, the Chief Operating Officer, Saudi Mthani. And then we have also with us our company secretary, Teresa. And then with me, I have the acting chief financial officer, James Aguma. So that is the delegation which we have today. And I believe they will assist us in answering whatever questions will come through. Before James will be presenting, I would just like to respond to some of the issues which were raised by the auditor at a very high level. Last year when the results were announced, we got a disclaimer. Our audit opinion was a disclaimer. And then we came in October last year to present to the portfolio committee those results. And then it's very important to take note of the fact that when we presented last year, we presented a 3-year plan to move from a disclaimer to unqualified. So out of that 3-year plan, this is our first year of that 3-year plan, which we have presented last year. The plan which we put in place after the release of the results was that as an audit committee representing the board, we requested management to come with a detailed action plan for the qualification areas. And we developed projects for those areas. And we requested the board that the audit committee should sit regularly, which is monthly, to monitor that plan. So from October last year, we have been sitting on a monthly basis, monitoring whatever is happening in relation to those qualification areas. The support which we got from, we want to thank the AG, they were supportive in us getting together the plan. We had a debriefing session after that, after the audit of last year, and then they were part of looking at the plans which were put in place to ensure that we also accommodated them. The AG started a little bit earlier than usual to try and assist us in getting rid of the disclaimer. And we have worked very well in that area. The issues which were major in relation to the previous year were issues which arose over many years. So that's the reason why we say that we're not going to be in a position to resolve them in a year. So that is the reason why we put together a 3-year plan. It's a lot of work which needs to be done over the previous years to correct those previous years. And then that's some of the reasons why we couldn't submit our financials in time, because there were a lot of corrections which needed to be done to address the prior problems which were leading to the disclaimers, which led to the disclaimer. And it should be noted that we have moved. I think we have achieved in relation to what we have set forward for our first year of resolving the issues. We are not proud of a qualification. We will never be proud of that. And then we are very much conscious as a board and the audit committee and management that the challenges are very big. We have very big challenges. and we are ready to, I mean, we have indicated that we are moving in the right direction. The most important thing which I think is there is that for us to maintain the momentum, which I think we are doing and we are going to be doing. So issues of irregular expenditures, I think that the unfruitful expenditure, that it will be a major concern also of this committee and also everyone else. We are very much concerned as a board and management in that area. We have set up processes in place to try and cap the problem. Some of the major part of that problem is coming from the supply chain processes. We have policies which were there, which were not in line with legislation, some of them. And then we have reviewed that policy to ensure that it is in line with legislation. And then some of the issues is the issue of we went in and comprehensively tried to identify those fruitless and irregular expenditure. If you look at our annual report, that 3.4 billion is not for 2014-2018. Most of it relates to the prior year. So we went in there trying to find out what's the problem, dig out all those issues which were hidden to us, and then that's the reason why we've disclosed a bigger figure for the current 2018-14. It is well stated in the annual report. I think 2.4 billion of that relates to the prior years, and then we have only almost 900 million, almost a million for the current financial year, and then we're busy working on that. The other cause of that is that the nature of business which we're engaged in makes it difficult sometimes not to have fruitless expenditure, but we are working on that to streamline the processes to reduce that to a very minimal level where it's beyond our control. But it's very important to take note of that the nature of business also is a problem. And the also the issue of the stability of management over the years, the stability of the board have led to the lapse and which led to all these issues coming forward. So briefly, that was the introduction which I would like to, our persons have liked to bring through, and I believe that from Department of Communication, you must rest assured that as a board and as an audit committee of SABC, we have put a lot of effort, we have put a lot of plans in place, and we are putting a lot of monitoring. We believe that it's a big challenge, but the challenge is winnable, and then we believe that we'll bring back better results as we go forward. We'll be in a position to meet our 2-year plan, and with the support of the AG, we believe that we'll be in a position to do that. I'll hand over to James, and then if there are any questions, we'll assist each other to answer that. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members and honourable Minister of Communications and those charged with governance of sister public entities. My presentation is basically divided into two. The first is the analysis of the financial results of 2013-14. Then the second bit of the presentation is going to talk to the audit opinion. With a comprehensive income, we had a profit for the year, and total comprehensive income for the year, which improved by about 523 million, mainly due to increasing revenues outstripping high expenditures. And this was driven by both television and radio advertising revenue. We also had a 7% growth in expenses, which was mostly driven by employee compensation and benefits. Included in that figure of employee compensation and benefits is payments that are made to freelancers because of the nature of our business. Not everybody is an employee. We've got a large percentage people who contribute to our business, but they are not exactly on the payroll as employees. we call them as and when we require certain services to be delivered. A lot of this is mostly in the areas of news, sports, and some areas in technology also, where we pay contractors to do a lot of this work. With the revenue analysis, advertising revenues improved despite declining audiences by 8% due to successful initiatives to regain advertiser confidence, innovative trading mechanisms in television and radio audiences. But it's also important to note that a lot of the revenue growth has also been contributed by realigning systems at the SABC. What this means is that the sales teams that go out to sell advertising revenue in the past used to operate without a lot of synergy with the television and radio teams that actually presented the content. But now, through an operations committee, these two talk about what they are going to broadcast, and the sales team knows in advance what they need to go and sell. And as a result of those efficiencies, we've seen a market growth in revenues. Sponsorship revenues also improved by 22% due to flexible sponsorship policies and, as I said, the performance of the sales team. TV license revenue was under pressure. It only grew up by about 2% due to the reduced sales in television sets and other economic factors, whereby consumers are not exactly buying as many television sets as they desire. It's also important to note that there's a direct nexus between the television revenue and also the reputational issues that arise at the SABC, whereby negative media reports have a direct impact on TV revenue. Other income, mainly from the supply of services like special broadcast events, saw a jump of about 186% from 60 million to 172. I've just shown a graph there of the 5-year trend of revenue. You'll see that from 2010 to 2014, there was a growth from 4.7 billion to 7.2 billion. And most of this is driven by advertising revenue. It's also important to notice that the TV license revenue makes up 7% of this revenue. And it shows that over the years, what is happening is license revenue, the percentage of total revenue is reducing. However, license revenue is what needs to support public broadcasting services. So sports of national interest and a couple of other mandated events are going to suffer if license revenue does not catch up. That is the growth in revenue compared to other sources. Members who want to realize, of the committee, want to just note that the revenue is about collectability. And what is shown in financial statements is not the accrued revenue, it's the cash actually received by the SABC because of certain challenges we have internally, where we cannot accurately accrue for revenue. The next slide just talks to the proportion. You'll see that it's a bit too dark, but the deep blue shows the amount of advertising revenue as a percentage of other sources, and it clearly shows a growth from 66% to 73% over a 4-year period. Expense analysis: operating expenses increased by 4% year on year, and this was driven largely by a 17% increase in employee compensation benefits, and we also saw that there was a counter to that. 4% would have been probably larger, but because of a court case around the payments of royalties to SAMPRA that reduced the provision that we have made from 7% of revenue to 3%, had a counter effect, thereby giving us a 4% growth in revenue. The expense trend analysis shows that expenses have gone from 5.8 billion to 6.8 over the the 5-year term. And as I said, it's employee compensation. The nature of our business is largely driven by employees. It's a people-driven business that contributes largely to this expenditure. The expense proportional analysis shows that employee costs have grown by about 7% from 30% in 2010 to 37% as a percentage of total expenditure. For the balance sheet, we're proud as SMBC to say that we have a relatively robust balance sheet, even where we came from as a company that was almost in financial stress. I don't want to say insolvent, but I would say that the current ratio and quick ratio as shown on those graphs are standing at 1.96 and 1.43. What that means is that we now have R1.96 of current assets available to pay R1 of current liabilities. That's the top the top table there, and you will see that it improved from 1.79 to 1.96. The quick ratio, which really talks about the liquidity, the ultimate liquidity. What resources do you have available to pay immediate liabilities? That's if you take away inventories and so on. Improved from 0.95 to 1.43 in 5 years. That means that we now have, of the most liquid assets available, R1.40 to pay each round of liabilities. Cash flows are breached, that's just a simplified form of our cash flow statement. We had 1.4 billion at year end compared to 1 billion at in the preceding year. SABC was able to generate 500 million from its operations. That's the cash inflow from operations. And if you see the operating cash flow ratio, sits at 0.3 cents, which means that we are able to generate 30 cents of revenue from our operations to pay each current liability that we have on hand. So it's actually positive that for the first time in a couple of years, the SABC's operations are able to return positive cash flows to settle liabilities. So we are in a position now to pay off most of our liabilities. We are aware as a committee that we settled the last bit of our government guaranteed debt last year, and just recently we've released about 28 million to pay for the second last OB van that we bought in the 2010 World Cup. The second bit of the presentation is the toughest, and it talks to our audit opinion. I've had our colleagues from other public entities here show that they have unqualified, and that's where we want to go. Minister and members of the Portfolio Committee. The English say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, so we are going to imitate the other public entities. As the chair of the Audit Committee has said, we'll be doing that we put a 3-year term to join in that league of unqualified entities. This table just shows our audit positions over 5 years. In 2010, we had an unqualified audit report, which degenerated in 2011, or regressed, if you may use the word, to qualified. Then we sustained the qualification in 2012, and 2013, when the Auditor General took over, they believed we needed to get a disclaimer. So that was a massive regression from the qualification to a disclaimer. And in 2014, because of the efforts that the board and the management has put in place together with the Auditor General, we managed to have an improvement from the disclaimer to a qualified opinion. We want to note, we want the committee and the minister to note that in this qualification that we've got, there's a positive aspect. It's not the best result, but we're happy to note that we have persistently had problems with the program film and sports rights accounting, which led to qualifications in 2011-12, contributed to the disclaimer in 2013, but this has been cleared. So we're proud because that is the second largest item on our balance sheet other than PPE. So we are happy that that has been cleared. The qualifications for this year arose from those areas. I'll put a simple table just to give context to it. We were qualified on property, plant, and equipment in 2014. We were also qualified in 2013, and it wasn't reported in the previous year. I'm just going to focus on 2013 and 14. We were also qualified on intangible assets in 2013. We managed to resolve that in 2014. We had mentioned in the audit report relating to TV license fees and receivables. That still persists because our systems are geared to report on cash received as opposed to the total revenue accruing from TV license. What that means is if we are owed 150 runs in TV license revenue, our systems record 90 runs received against the 150. So what we record in our financial statement is 90 runs for cash as opposed to 150. We could have recorded the 150, but the system, the database is not, does not have as much integrity as we desire to make the 150 a reliable figure. But we are going to work on that. We have agreed with the audit committee that we're going to set up a task team just to zero in on that issue. Program film and sports rights, as I mentioned, we got qualified in 2013. We managed to resolve that. Trade and other receivables, we had issues in 2013. We resolved those issues in 2014. Irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure is a persistent problem, as the chair of the audit committee has said. We have a lot of historical issues here, but we are also putting a task team to just zoom in on those issues around the payments and procurement cycle. Deferred tax payable and income taxation as a problem is a big issue. It arises from skills issues around tax capacity. We don't have enough people in the tax department, but we have put in an immediate action plan. We have recruited, we're recruiting two people. I think they'll be starting next month, tax experts to help us because we have exposure there. We have also recruited, engaged the service provider to help us in clearing this issue around tax. The expenditure finding of 2013 was cleared. Post-retirement valuations findings was also cleared. However, the last four, the deferred government grants, other payables, mobile income, and IFRS disclosures relating to the aging of receivables were not reported last year, but they were identified as problems in the current year. The deferred government grant issues is related to the property and plant and equipment finding, which we have deployed a service provider to clear it. So by the end of this year, when we clear property, plant and equipment, the deferred government grant should also disappear automatically. The other payment payables relate to tax issues. So as I said, we have engaged the service provider. We have recruited the staff with the competent staff. So we believe the other payables will also go away. And the IFRS disclosure, we only discovered as a result of the audit that there was a glitch in our system where the aging of debtors was not accurate. So that system issue we are able, I believe, to deal with. Qualifications, that's just a summary of what I've said. In 2012, we had one qualification paragraph. 2013, we were in an unenviable situation where we got eight more, and we ended up with nine. That led us inevitably to a disclaimer. In the current year, we've managed to resolve five and one, so we're in a qualification. So we are, you know, having a downward trajectory of qualification paragraphs. But we're sure that the remaining ones are so interlinked that if we deal with them, with one or two of them, you'll find the others just dropping off. We're clear on what we need to do. the summary of action plans to deal with the audit findings. Basically, with license fees, what we are doing is we are setting up an inspectorate service to validate the database. And together with this, we are going to engage service providers, and the minister has also talked about reviewing the model around license fees. So I think those three efforts will most likely give us clarity on the amounts. I need to emphasize that it doesn't imply that we don't have the license fees, because the press last year misquoted or misread the financials and claimed that the SABC had squandered license fees. The fees are there. The cash amount is there. But we're saying we're not accounting for those that are due to us that haven't been collected. And the reason is that we don't trust the database that much to disclose a figure. Because if we did, the AG would still raise a matter, a finding around that issue. What we have done around that area, we're currently in the process of sourcing service providers to go and do the inspecting of people who are misusing TVs. Another issue about license fees is that if we accrued for it, we are discounting, if we even discount the fact that our databases are not that accurate, is that it's going to lead to certain VAT impact. That means we would have to pay in advance billions of rands to the receiver and then claim those later, as a bad debt. And if we do that, we will not have the financial resources to sustain that, because you would be able to pay immediately and claim later. But if you don't have the funds for that, then most likely you would have no funds to run the organization. We are in discussions with the National Treasury around this issue to allow us to recognize to pay VAT on the cash basis because of that anomaly. Then the regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This arose largely from, I'll break it down into two. The fruitless and wasteful, 53% of it arose from penalties and interest on tax to the receiver, and also interest to service providers like Telcom. So these figures are quite large. So in the review of the payable cycle, we're going to make sure that payments are made within 30 days so that we actually don't suffer this unnecessary fruitless expenditure. Then for the irregular expenditure, as the chair of the audit committee said, it arises from two issues. One is that our policies have been implemented by the organization and staff have been actually following them. But the problem is that the policies were not aligned to the law. So people complied with the internal policy, but the policy was not aligned to the law. So by default, those policies actually were leading to irregular expenditure. So what we've done is we've set up a compliance function that is going to make sure that policies are reviewed every year for compliance with the law, so that we don't get ambushed by policies that don't comply to the law. Then we also have issues about the contracts for support and other functions, that by its very nature, you find negotiations take a very long time, that by the time they go out to broadcast the spot, you will find that the negotiations, the contract is not signed. So by default, we require regular expenditure. And that's what the chair of the audit committee was saying, that the nature of our business is that you would have negotiations, but the deadline for the broadcast is always earlier than the completion of the negotiations and signing of the report. So that process we are trying to align in the current year. Then for deferred taxation and all the tax issues, what we've done, we centralized tax management in the CFO's office. We've also made sure that we recruit competent staff and raise the profile of the risk of tax, because it wasn't raised as a high risk, but now we know through the audit process that this is actually high tax exposure is a problem. With the deferred government grant that's linked to the property, plant and equipment findings, we know that if we deal with that, we will be able to account accurately. accurately for the deferred government grants. Other payables is relating to tax, so dealing with the tax issues will deal with the other payables. Mobile income and the IFRS disclosure, as I said, the IFRS disclosure is linked to the system, that one we'll be able to fix. Mobile income is about contracting with service providers for with whom we share the mobile income to make sure that they audit, they give us audit reports that guarantee that the income remitted to the SABC is valid, accurate, and complete. The next slide and the next and last talks about the audit turnaround dependencies. We just recognize that there are a couple of things that need to happen that in order for us to deal with the audit issues. The first one is the continuation of board committees' frequent meetings. And this is very important because if you're aware of the COSO model, on which is the benchmark for measuring of the effectiveness of internal controls, the tone from the top is very important. So we believe if the board committees meet frequently, then the organization that has not been used to, you know, scrutiny from the board will inevitably have to take cognizance that it's a new page that has changed, that has been turned, and a lot of internal controls that are taken for granted by other organizations will now have to start taking root at the SABC. Then the risk committee will also have to meet quarterly to make sure that they highlight the risks, key risks, mostly at operational level, because at strategic level we are aware at the operational level that we can't put internal controls to deal with those adequately. Then risk management, internal audit and compliance functions will have to be adequately staffed. These are internal functions. We'll also have to make sure that the policies and procedures for key activities are developed and socialized within the SABC. It's also fundamental as part of our skills audit that we recruit experienced professional accountants to handle some of these things. So I think as an organization, we've taken for granted that we would be able to cost along with the resources that we have. But given the complexities in the audit, accounting, and finance field, it's inevitable that we need to get, you know, professionally registered accountants that we can hold accountable, if not internally, by the SABC, we can hold them accountable by, you know, the standards of the profession to make them do what they've got to do. Then we also, without doubt, agree with the AG that we'll have to have consequence management. But consequence management will not work if we don't embed performance management. That's business performance management, reviewing how the business works, and also the individuals who are recruited to make sure that the strategy works. So we're saying we will need to embed that performance management. And we recognize that we are probably not doing as well as we would desire in performance management. That's my presentation. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, SAPC. Any areas of clarity, members? Yeah, Minister, do you want to comment on the presentation that you've done, or can we just proceed? Okay, there we go. Honourable members, all the presentations have been done in relation to also the annual reports, the audit outcomes, public service return general together with the Minister and the entities has given us a broader picture which can provide a basis for us to engage in discussions. I am taking this time. Of course, it's supposed to be like we'll be checking in the meantime to just our legislating. I think we should really maybe start some discussion first and see how do we fare. Possibly if we break it up for our first one, we'll come before the responses. Is it fine with everyone? Mm-hmm. Don't leave, Mr. Foss. Let's see if we reach consensus. It's important. Because there are also issues of health maybe which we need to take care of. Do you want to start with questions, members, and then maybe for follow-ups we'll do them later, or maybe we leave the responses to a later time. While they're eating, they also think about your questions. What's your preference, honorable members?
Okay. Okay, now, if you take my way, can I get some hints on issues that you want to raise? We will leave the responses for after lunch, so long as now entities know what it is that you asked, so they prepare themselves, come back and respond. Honorable Kekani is the first one, and then Honorable Davis, Honorable Sadie, in that order. Proceed, Honorable Kekani.
Thank you very much. Let me start by welcoming the report and the report. I believe that what you were teaching us, you know it, and you understand it. Honorable Minister, I just wanted to say that what was presented is what needs to be presented. And for sure, I thought they will tell us that what you told us before, it has been done. But it's not. We are talking about only two issues here before we can go to many, many issues in this. The issue of HR and the issue of finances are very, very much important. But now, it tells me another thing. It means that Minister, your leadership should lead. And to lead, it means you lead. Which means if someone is out of the way, out of our recommendation, must be out of our ship. That's all. It's how to lead. You can't come here and we tell you one thing every day. Fill up the post. An easy thing. Where is that money goes? Because it's targeted for. Then is a problem. There will be irregular expenditures. They know how they do. Stop using consultants. It's our language. Now it will be our national anthem. To tell you one thing every day. Maybe we should know that if there are irregular expenditures, CFO must tell us. And in line with those things. But before, you can't just go to a poor CFO. We will check if she has enough capacity. Is her staff being developed? Those are HR matters. And we are not here to teach you how to do these things. Or maybe your qualifications are in doubt. Minister, I wanted to say that all your senior managers in all entities, new department, welcome officials. Thank you very much. Now we've got a minister. These people, all of them, all your entities, senior managers, must be vetted before January next year. All of them. Maybe someone is a CFO here, but he doesn't have qualifications. Number two, what we should deal with it is to make sure that before you come back to us, don't come here and tell us that we still have triples. You must not come here and report. You must know that when you come here, you will be telling us that what you have requested from us, we have done. Simple as it is, Chair. And the issue of cases. I don't believe that a case can take more than 60 days when you have a legal qualified person. And if the CEO of that entity allows that, Minister Nelson Woni is needed. To all of them, starting from the senior, how could you accept
But our senior manager will tell you that, Norman, there are some technical issues that are disturbing me. To finish the case in 2 months. No, that person may be doing a wrong thing. No, we must start it, we'll start our little settlement. We must start it procedurally, whereby written warning must be issued to those people. But 150 days are in the dismissal. Definitely, we should not talk about this thing. So just call that person and say that this is your letter. You don't discuss this thing. Because he knows exactly what he was hired for. It's how to lead. It's how to lead. If regardless of the relationship, then people will do what they're supposed to do. Just take a snap. One day, just go around and go to sit in the corner of a certain exit. By 3 o'clock, all of them are out of their offices. 3 o'clock. You know, on Fridays, I like to just to move around. Gauteng, you will see. Pretoria. Johannesburg. No. But you are getting a full salary. CFOs, you find that they are paying these MNCs and small companies after 30 days, but he's getting his salary every month. Then the CEO is smiling. We should interrogate this thing. The CEO of the company or COO, can you smile for that? That I've got my salary. Someone is not paid, but he has done the job. I think maybe to talk much about these things, it will waste our time. I'm thinking that it will be better for us to deal with these issues in the oversight time. I believe it's 25 to 28, whereby we will be going entity to entity. If people supposed to be dismissed, must be dismissed. If chairperson supposed to lose their chairpersonship message, you must go. You must go. And, you know, I don't want to talk about many things, SABC. I'm very happy because at least you moved from a danger point to a warm one. But it's not enough. It's not enough. You must come with a strategy. Start collection for TV licenses. You can't collect less than 500 million or a billion. If South Africa, there are more than 15 million TVs, it means it's close to 4 billion. That money. If you take it in the rate of 250, it's TV license. And if it's more than that, no, it seems that there's no leadership. You can do it manually, door to door. And then, or you can deal with technologically. Get a device that will assist us like DSTV. Because you are paying.
It's already taken you 15 minutes to pause.
Okay, can I wrap up?
Please do.
All of them, those who have not met the requirements, must not get bonuses this December and or in their birthdays. They must not get bonuses, they must just go home. The last one in passive minister. We don't want to monopolize things or maybe same thing micromanaging the minister. But I'm very much worried about the filling post of SABC. You are rather leave it until we finish the case of Jefferson. I thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Kekani. Next is Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all the entities for your presentations. I must say, Chairperson, I don't think there's nearly enough time to properly interrogate all of these annual reports today, because there's so much information in them, and I really think that in future we need to spread this out over a few days and perhaps have a different entity on each day, because there's just no way we can deal with all of this. Anyway, I've got 15 questions to start with, and then I've got lots of other questions, so I'm going to just start with the first 15, and they're directed at the Minister and the SABC. I just want to say thank you to the Minister for the strongly worded letter to the MDDA, and I hope, Chairperson, that we can call the MDDA to account for not tabling their annual report. And I think that must be put on our agenda and taken very seriously indeed, because as the Minister says, it is our job to hold them to account for that failure to table their report. Also, Minister, thank you for introducing your new team. I just wanted to know what role the acting GCIS CEO, Pumla Williams, will be playing. I'm not sure if the new DG replaces Pumla or what happens to Pumla Williams now in the new configuration. And then onto the substance of the AG reports in general. I mean, the AG found that instability, especially in key leadership positions, is really one of the key drivers for failing to get clean audits. And it's a welcome development that you will be appointing a CEO and a CFO at the SABC in November. But I would like to know why this process has taken so long. You said when you were appointed you would do it within 3 months. It's now going to be about 6 months, I think. And I find it especially strange considering it took you 24 hours to appoint Thadi Motsoeneng once the board recommended him. So I'm not sure why this process is taking so many months and that one was so quick. Then the AG found that another key thing that needs to be done across the board is to hold officials accountable if we're going to improve these audit outcomes. Now, on the topic of holding officials accountable, how can we implement the AG's recommendation of holding officials accountable when there's very senior officials at the SABC, one is sitting behind you, Mr. Thadi Motsoeneng, who has been found by the public protector to be responsible for 29 million rands with
audit. Can we talk about COO Thadi Motsoeneng while the issue is in the court and done by DA? The same DA come to talk about this law, man. You should stop.
Honourable Davis, do you mind just leave the court one and just proceed?
It's not issue of the court. This has got something. This is the public protector's report. It's not about the appointment of Mr. Motsoeneng. That's in the courts. This is about what the public protector found. So my question to you is, if we have somebody at the SABC who's found by the public protector to have been responsible for wasteful expenditure...
I find out, let me hear what Honourable Davis is saying.
The issue that is in court is the issue that emanated from the public protector report. He must stop at all to talk about that thing, because it's them who took it to court.
Remember, we attempted to have the minister presenting on this matter. There is an issue of that was raised. We rather deal with it in that manner. You have also launched a complaint about self-judicate. Hey, let's deal with it at that level. Can we then maybe take a... It's a matter that you've already launched. Can we move to other matters next?
I won't mention any names. But how... can the minister expect...
Please.
How can the minister expect entities to comply with the AG's report when certain entities have certain people in positions who were found guilty of doing certain things and they're still in their positions? It's not tenable. And if we can't deal with the problems across the board if we don't deal with the people responsible at the top. So I'd like the minister to comment on that, please. Then... the SABC is also going through a very challenging time, as my colleague alluded to with the chairperson and the allegations about her qualifications. Does the minister agree that we need to relook at the way that board members are appointed? And how can we ensure that we appoint people of integrity who are appointed to their abilities and not their proximity to people in high places? And then the last question for the minister. The AG has called for stability and filling of key positions so that there are no vacancies. So I'd like the minister to explain why she revoked the automatic 45 working day extension of 4 ICASA councillors, because that's going to create unnecessary vacancies. And what right does she have in law to revoke?
Honourable Davis, I also have serious reservations. I should deal with that matter once it's at this meeting.
Chair, with respect, we haven't dealt with that matter. We've discussed the filling of the vacancies. We haven't discussed the minister's revoking of the 45 working day extension that they are entitled to in law.
So in other words, yeah, we are doing away with what they indicated that Parliament has redirected that we proceed.
There are two separate issues, Chair. One is about the committee appointing the councillors. The other is about the minister unilaterally deciding to revoke the 45 working day extension. They're totally different issues.
If the minister wishes to respond on that, it's okay, but the matter has been raised with Parliament. I indicated the speaker and the minister in communication on the matter, and therefore my belief is that if that matter is that you requested that I change, unless you tell me now that I shouldn't do it anymore. Because I thought it's a matter that we are supposed to also handle and give feedback to members.
I don't know how to say this in a different way, but there are two different issues. The issue that you're referring to is the appointment of the 4 councillors. The issue that I'm referring to is the minister revoking the 45 working day extension of the councillors. So there are different issues.
They're linked. That's what I wanted to say, but it's fine. If the minister wants to respond, she can do that. Okay, I'd like to just indicate about the other one, because it relates to us directly, the MDDA one. Yeah, on that matter, the non-compliance is with Parliament, and actually it's already been in the Speaker's office. Will be directed in terms of how do we handle it. But they haven't, it's not it's not that they did not comply with us as only the portfolio compliance, it's above that. They did not comply with Parliament, you know, and therefore it's a matter that Parliament has to handle as well. More than we will be directed as well, how do we handle that matter? But surely Parliament should have a way, if any entity does not comply, what then happens? We will be directed on that one, just to clear that one, because it relates directly to us. Okay. Some more. Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. These questions are now directed to the SABC. The first question is, I think, a question on a lot of people's lips. Where is the Chairperson today of the SABC? We know how much she loves meetings. I'm not sure why she's...
Honourable Davis, no, man, please.
I think that's a fair question.
No. Honourable Davis, we don't dictate who's part of the delegation for entities. Ask all other people who are not there then. Before asking where is the Chairperson. No, Honourable, please don't mess up my meeting. Please. It's not fair to ask a particular person. Entities, you know, they decide who comes as part of the delegation. I'm uncomfortable with that question, and I would like us to move to the next other question.
With respect, Chair, the Chairperson of the SABC directs the affairs of the SABC. It is strange that she's not here. She's been at every other meeting that we've had with the SABC.
So in other words, they're defying me. You want to or die to deal with it. Even
I
if I have rules that leave that the issue of who comes as a delegation from the entities. That's what I've ruled. Can I be respected on that one?
In the interest of time, I will defer to you on that one.
And moreover, she's not the only captain.
Okay. Okay, I think
that's one thing that I want you to take it very seriously. Yes. Maybe if you can start to lecture Davis what is the work of portfolio committee.
Okay, let's allow him to proceed and proceed with our questions, Honourable Davis.
Thank you. I think the work of the portfolio committee is to hold entities to account, which is exactly what we're doing here.
You are on your questions. Leave responses. Because if anything happens, it should be...
Okay, but somebody needs to do it in this committee, so that's what I'm doing. Chair, I think that the biggest standout problem that we've seen today is the 3.3 billion rands worth of irregular expenditure at the SABC, up from 100 million. This is a staggering amount of money. As we said earlier, it's nearly half of the SABC's total expenditure was irregular. The question is, how did this happen? And how can nearly half of the SABC's expenditure be irregular? Who is responsible for it? We want names. Who is actually responsible for half of the SABC's expenditure being irregular? And what sanction is being applied to those individuals responsible for that? Then there are 3 points made by the Auditor General on governance failures of the SABC, and I want to address each one in turn. The first one is about the key executive positions that were not filled and the high vacancy rate throughout the system. So what is being done to fill the key positions? I know that the CEO and the CFO positions are with the Minister, but what about the head of sport, the head of news, the head of strategy, and all of the other vacancies across the SABC? What is being done to fill those vacancies? Then another problem highlighted by the AG was the lack of technical expertise in the CFO's office and inadequate skills in supply chain management. What is being done to rectify this problem? And then the third thing that the AG found was that there was no effective human resource management in place to ensure that sufficiently skilled people are in the right positions. And this tells us that the lack of skills at the SABC is a problem that goes beyond the COO's office. What is being done to sort out these HR practices at the SABC? Okay, I'm going to cut this a bit shorter and just ask three more questions. The AG found fruitless and wasteful expenditure had increased from 15 million to 54 million rand, mainly due to payment for vehicles and services not provided. Please can the SABC elaborate exactly what happened here? Where did the money go? How many vehicles were paid for but not received? And what is being done to get the money back and discipline the officials involved? Then my second last question, Chairperson, if you'll indulge me, is on the money paid out to departing staff members and especially high-ranking officials at the SABC, because the annual report shows us that the former CEO was paid out 8 million rand in golden handshakes for just 11 months of service, and the former head of news was paid out nearly 5 million rand. That's 13 million rand paid out in golden handshakes to just two officials at the SABC. So what is being done to stop the alleged purging of staff that results in these people leaving? And what is being done to prevent this exorbitant waste of money on golden handshakes? Then lastly, in last year's annual report, there was a section on disciplinary processes for board members. And it also set out exactly what would happen with respect to board members who broke the SABC's disciplinary code and what steps would be taken to recover any money that they earned through fraudulent activities. I noticed that this section has been taken out of the annual report this year, and I would like to know if that has anything to do with the current charges against the SABC chairperson. Thank you.
Can you go to lunch break and we'll come back at 30 minutes past two. Thank you.